Welcome to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. In this episode, we are joined by Sarah McGrath, CEO at 360 Search, an executive search specialist in insurance, life and pensions, accountancy and compliance, based in Dublin, Ireland. Sarah and her business partner, Linda Barnes, launched 360 Search in 2010 with the goal to be Ireland's industry-leading financial services recruitment consultancy. They then decided to partner with the Recruitment Entrepreneur to make this goal a reality in April of 2018. In this podcast, Sarah takes us through the challenges and opportunities of building a successful recruitment company in Ireland with Recruitment Entrepreneur CFO, Angus McDowell.
Well, listen, Sarah, thank you so much for jetting in from Dublin to be on the Recruitment Entrepreneur podcast. Really good to have you here this morning. You're a director at 360 Search. Can you just sort of open us up by just telling us a bit more about, a bit about 360 Search? A bit about your role there.
Yeah, great. So we are a financial services recruitment company. So as of this week, we are 9 people. Last week we were 7. So yeah, it is. It's great. So we've had the last 12 months have been great for us. Tough enough start to 2023, but positive, you know, sentiment in general. So we look after insurance, life and pensions, accountancy, compliance, and we have the majority of our team in Ireland. We have 2 employees full-time now based in the UK. So we're pretty much on world domination. So myself and Linda, baby steps. Myself and Linda run the company. So yeah. Linda's my business partner. She's a phenomenal woman. I'm sure you all know her. Brains and beauty. So, you know, we actually are a great partnership. But we both love the hunt. We both love recruitment. We both love getting out there in front of clients. But I like a spreadsheet. So that's how it works, is I like the money, yeah. I like the spreadsheets, I like the P&L.
And in terms of, you say you both love recruitment, is recruitment something that you've always wanted to do, or is it like most recruiters we speak to that you sort of fall into it and next thing you have a lifetime recruiter?
Yes, so there's a bit more behind it. So I finished my business degree. Went travelling like every young person does. Well, most people in Ireland do, that when you finish your degree, you go to the other side of the world and, you know, drink pretty much every day. So I came back from Australia, came back from travelling, and my aunt, Paula, she is a recruitment entrepreneur as well. Uh-huh. So she was one of the founders of Brightwater. So when I came back from travelling, she said, come and work for us. But she put me through my paces. I had to interview, you know, like it was, I thought I was going to walk and sail into a job and I had like a 3-round interview. I was the only person. It's like, so I was there for 3 years. Uh-huh. And then I met Linda. Uh-huh. And, you know, it was, I wanted to experience something outside of family. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, taken by Linda instantly and thought, yeah, this could be a really good partnership. Mm-hmm. So I went into business with Linda.
And tell us about the early days of 360 Search. How did it get off the ground? And then you came to Recruitment Entrepreneur later on. You're in an established business. Give us the sort of journey of from the start when you met Linda through to sort of investing, or Recruitment Entrepreneur investing in 360.
Okay, so I met Linda when 360 was 2. So I joined the startup, you know, and bought into the vision, bought into the company. And ultimately bought into Linda. So I joined when the business was a baby and, you know, we set out to grow it. And really we were a specialism in insurance and that's what we were known for. We were up and down the country meeting clients at networking events. You know, we were having many, many wins along the years. I think where it started to change was the direction that we wanted to go versus the previous shareholders. So it came to a point where, you know, we wanted to excel and soar and you know, look at, we needed a cash investment basically to be able to do this. So I was temporarily in another company. And at that point, Linda and I wanted to work together, wanted to be in business together. And that's what led us to you guys, to Ori. And when we met with you, Angus, it was you. Yeah, it was you. You know, it just, the opportunity was there and it felt right. Yeah. And the goals were aligned, the ambition was aligned, and you know, we all wanted to make money and we all wanted to be excellent at what we do. And I guess going through that journey, that 6-month journey with you guys, and that's when we knew, okay, yeah, we found the right home. This is going to help us do that.
Super. Well, you definitely found the right home.
Yeah, for sure.
And just to sort of focus in on that time pre, well, it doesn't have to be pre-RE, but in terms of some of the challenges of starting a recruitment business, I think a lot of people look from the outside in and think, that's pretty easy. There's not many barriers to entry. What were some of the challenges that you found, both you know, prior to RE, but also in RE, it's not you, it's not all plain sailing. What were some of the challenges?
So I think starting a recruitment business, it does, people make it look easy, you know, and that's, you know, when they're excellent at what they do. They just make it look like, oh, anyone can do this. But I think when you get into it and you realise what's involved, like the challenge is hiring the right team, you know, not overspending, making sure that you're in the right markets, having your strategy, you know, being ambitious, but not over egging it, you know, finding that right balance. I think the biggest challenge for us has been finding the right team. Like, thankfully now, the people that we have around us, I hope they are long-term because they're phenomenal. Every single one of them, you know, I feel like we're a little family.
Yeah.
Like, it works and they're ambitious, they're transparent. You know, they give it everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if we had that exact fit before. You know, we've had some really great people come through 360, but they haven't necessarily been the right ones.
How do you differentiate that then? How do you land with someone that's good, that fits, versus great people that aren't necessarily the right ones?
We've homegrown. We have homegrown, and that has worked really well for us. It's labor intensive, it's a risk, you take an investment, there's a lot needed. But the people that are coming up through 360 now that are going to be our senior management are homegrown.
Yeah.
So they're going to replicate exactly what we've taught them to growing their own teams. And we're seeing that now with Owen. You know, he's now a manager. He's now made his first hire.
Big shout out to Owen.
Big shout out to Owen. Yeah, he's done really well. You know, we see it in the rest of the guys.
And what are the raw materials then? So if you're homegrowing, you're saying you're bringing them in as not experienced recruiters. What are you looking for there?
So for an example of Holly. So Holly was a candidate and I placed her as a candidate. And from the minute I met her, I was like, oh, she just has something. You know, there's a spark about her. She was smart. She has, you know, she was just finished third level education. She traveled, you know, she was very straight in how she spoke. You know, there was a connection. You can't deny the connection. Like, the connection is a real thing. And I just thought that she would be fantastic. And she is. Like, she's 4 years later, nearly four years later, she's with us and she is brilliant.
Yeah. And in terms of the 360 as a business, obviously the Dublin recruitment market is pretty saturated. What makes you stand out from the crowd? How do you win work? I guess on top of that, what do you do to differentiate yourself? How do you really try and position yourself to make yourself stand out from the crowd?
So a big push that we have is external marketing. So firstly, investing in our guys, you know, to build them and build confidence so that they feel enabled to put themselves out there, to go to networking events, to put out a video, to put out a post, you know, whatever is within someone's comfort range. But it's just pushing them that bit, just so they're a little bit uncomfortable, you know, researching, writing a blog, all of that thought leadership, marketing, you know, is great for the brand and it's pushing their own individual brand as well. Linda and I are regularly at industry events, you know, it's kind of our thing. It's, you know, like, these are our friends now, you know, so that has set us aside.
Yeah.
You know, I would jump in my car back in the old days when I was driving a Megan and I was like, right, I'm off to Galway, adios. And I was gone, you know, the drop of a hat. It's a little bit harder now with a baby, but, you know, that's what we put in, you know, all those years of relentless business development and getting to know people because we enjoyed it firstly and because it was part of just our DNA on building a business. We've created a podcast that has, you know, interviewing CEOs, trying to build an informed network around ourselves is how we said, and delivering on briefs,
delivering
on recruitment, fundamentally.
The bread and butter.
Delivering and servicing our clients.
Yeah. You mentioned the podcast. Tell us a bit more about that.
So CEO Corner is stemmed from an idea that, you know, wanting to give, especially in Ireland, because, you know, people in Ireland can be quite private.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, CEOs where, you know, you might have a CEO of a large company and know nothing about them. And how did that person get to that place, or what is the journey? So CEO Corner is stemmed from the people that you know in your local market and further afield, for them to share their journey of success and how they did it. And, you know, that it's not some magic formula. Yeah. It's just sheer hard work and focus. So it offers our candidates, it offers our clients to listen to their peers, their CEOs, in their peers, and for candidates that we work with and people in the market to say, okay, this is how they did it. You know, I really respect that person. Yeah. That's inspiring.
Super. Tell me some of the, on the wish list of CEO Corner interviewees, who's on there? Who would you love to have on that you haven't yet had on?
I've got a long list of people. I won't embarrass them by, I'll contact them. Join me. But I guess in a fun sense, if you were taught Ricky Gervais.
Okay.
You're like, what?
What?
Ricky Gervais. Okay, that's not, I didn't expect that answer. Yeah. I just love him. No, I'm only messing. A female CEOs. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to speak with more female CEOs. There was a female CEO of a large insurer in London that I reached out to, and just unfortunately, just time-wise, she couldn't join. But just the work that she does with empowering women, and the work that she does, you know, mentorship for women, and like somebody like that, or any woman that has, I know I'm kind of talking about women, but I get really excited and inspired by other female CEOs, because, you know, it's an area that is being looked at the moment as to how do we bring more females through, because gone are the days where women are, you know, full-time mothers, you know, as a general sense, women are out working. So I think if I could build, and I like really hard stories. I like someone that's had to suffer to get to the top. I really enjoy that. I don't enjoy them suffering, but I enjoy the fact that they've had to work. Yeah. They've had to overcome obstacles. That's the kind of profile that I love.
Yeah, okay. So you've missed your chance to name a name.
I'm not going
to
do that. I won't do that. Okay. No, I have invites out at the moment, but I'm definitely not going to name. I won't put the pressure on.
Yeah, okay. So Sarah, you obviously mentioned Ruby, who was born last year. Huge congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you found motherhood?
It's phenomenal, you know, and it's something that you never really understand until you have a baby. And I laugh and joke and I say, like, I love my dog so much that, you know, was I going to love my child as much as my dog?
Do you?
Oh my God, yes. Even more so. Like, my heart is getting bigger and bigger, you know, with love. Yeah, it's phenomenal. I love it.
And how has that affected your working week and your priorities, how you use your time? What's that looked like?
So my first, I was 6.5, nearly 7 months on maternity leave. And my first 6 weeks back into the company, I really, really struggled. I was upset, not so much because I was leaving Ruby, because I know that she was cared for and she was safe, and I took time off while she was starting creche. And, you know, to see a baby happy and your baby happy in creche, that gave me comfort and peace of mind. And that I did feel guilt, but that surpassed.
Yeah.
What I struggled with was my old life couldn't be anymore.
Yeah.
You know, having to leave work bang on a certain time, not necessarily having a routine. I struggled with what is my role anymore? What am I capable of?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the emotional capacity that you have when you go back to work, people do not prepare you for it. You know, I really, really struggled to find my place and to find my routine. I'm a big exerciser. So I love exercising, but it's from, like, it helps me mentally.
Yeah.
And I couldn't fit that in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, you know, how you feel about yourself starts to become affected. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know. I started to really have negative internal conversations, and it just wasn't helpful whatsoever. You know, I struggled. But around the 6 week mark, when things started to settle, I felt good, you know, I found a routine, and my routine has changed like 5 or 6 times since, but I think we finally have a routine where I can fit it all in.
Yeah.
You know, my days are just different. I need to be more focused in the time that I have. I need to be disciplined with that. I need to have boundaries when I work now, because I have a window, and then I gotta go.
Yeah.
But I have logged on sometimes in the evening, you know, after Ruby goes to bed, when I need to, or I have worked on a Saturday and a Sunday, and I'm good with that. You know, if she's sleeping or napping, That's what you have to do. You have to figure out a way to make it work. And I think I have now.
Yeah. And would you say you're in a better place now than pre-baby? It's been a good thing, and the balance has improved then?
Yeah. I think I'm better at what I do now.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I don't know if it's because I had a... Yeah, maybe it's because I had Ruby. Thanks, Ruby. I think I'm better at what I do now because I feel more matured in my thought process, as in I've relinquished control. Mm-hmm. I have trusted and invested. I have a clear vision. I also have a different purpose.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing it for myself, of course, but I'm also doing it for the wider family.
Yeah.
I'm doing things to afford us a different life to... And that's actually quite inspiring. And I want to show her what a fierce, confident mama looks like. I don't want her to be a recruiter, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the genes, though. Yeah.
Maybe she's the new succession planner.
But that's wonderful to hear. I mean, you hear it so often, don't you, the new focus and the greater sense of purpose and perspective that the children give.
It's phenomenal.
And just in terms of... has the recruitment sector evolved post-COVID pandemic? And you're obviously a couple of years past that now. What have you seen in terms of the sector in Ireland and any trends or anything to look out for?
Yeah, so currently we have a 4.4 unemployment rate. So it's lower than, I think it was 4.7 or something. You know, still low before the pandemic. In Q4 of last year, if I recall the stats correctly, the most advertised jobs were in the industries of insurance, legal and construction.
Good for you.
Yeah, great for us. Yeah. You know, we saw the result of that last year, thankfully. I think going into 2023, I know Ireland itself as a country is in a positive place. You know, our inflation is lowering. I think it's 8-something at the moment. I think it's going to be 4, it's going to halve by the end of the year. So that's a positive sign. Also, I think our exports are huge, you know, as a general sense, just as a country, as how we're performing. Our exports are huge, dairy, meat, pharma, engineering. And then for I guess, more localized as an industry, financial services is strong. There's definitely a slower pace. Mm-hmm. You know, decisions are taking longer. People are not jumping into hiring processes. You know, hiring processes have gone from maybe 2 weeks to a month. So there's a slower pace, but we're not seeing a slowdown in job briefs. Yeah. We're not seeing a slowdown in ambition. It's just a slower pace. And we have suffered at the start of the year. We had a difficult January, a better February, and will be a better again March. But it's not for lack of jobs.
Yeah.
It's not for, you know, it's for slow processes, losing talent along a process, you know, more considered decisions.
Yeah. And how are you as a business leader reacting to that? So what sort of things are you doing to...
throwing stuff at the wall.
You have to explain for an honor.
It's frustrating. Yeah. You know, it's frustrating. I'm not going to deny that. It's frustrating as in... When you're losing business because that could be saved, that we don't have to lose because of, you know, a slow process, but we have to respect that. We have to respect that, you know, clients need to take their time. What we're doing internally is we are constantly coaching. We're constantly motivating our team to know that this is cyclical. You know, this happens. It's an up and down. And we are getting more involved with our clients to help and coach through processes. And sometimes you just have to ride the storm. You just have to ride it out.
Yeah.
You know, getting stronger on counteroffer management, getting tighter processes, getting timelines tighter. You know, they're the kind of things we can do behind the scenes and directly with our clients to try and, you know, bring the pace back.
Yeah,
great. In terms of your outlook for 2023, what are some of the big goals for you and for the business this year? What's a good year, good 2023 look like for you?
So everyone performing on the team, you know, having job satisfaction, having career satisfaction, to reach a headcount of double digits will be our first time ever. Mm-hmm. So we will do that this year, but making sure it's the right people.
Yeah.
We've got a turnover of 2 million a target,
yeah.
You know, which is huge for us. Yeah. You know, we're a small 7 people last week,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I guess creating career opportunity for the guys internally and elevating ourselves, for Linda and I to elevate to the next level, although that's scary. We don't know what that is, but we've got to go with it. We've got to try.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose the question that's often asked, you've got a lot of experience now. What would you say to a younger Sarah McGrath? You put yourself back into the sort of early days of 360. What advice would you be giving to the younger Sarah sitting there now?
Don't procrastinate.
Okay.
Get out of your own way.
What's that mean?
As in, don't, you know, fear sometimes. Like, so there's so many ideas that you have. Like, I'm an ideas person. I've like ideas the whole time. Like, my whole notebook on my phone is this, I'm gonna do this, you know? And sometimes you sit on them for too long. Sometimes you procrastinate on them. And what the underlying issue is, maybe fear, maybe self-confidence, mm-hmm. maybe an inability to know how to roll something out. And I think if I was to give myself advice, it would be, you don't need to know everything. Take a risk sooner and earlier, and have real confidence with it, because yeah. it's going to come off.
Yeah. So mindset, really, yeah. rather than sort of any experience that you've had along the way that's really informed you, it's actually just to have the mindset
yeah.
of that confidence and to go for it.
I think so, because yeah, it's going in deeper earlier in my life. You know, I think that's what it is, because ultimately I'm getting and going where I want to be,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy with the development. But I would like for it to have happened sooner.
Yeah,
yeah, super. Yeah. Well, listen, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. That's been really informative.
Thanks, Angus.
All the best.